Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Daryl Loomis.
Hi-ho.
Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
Jason Pinella.
Hello.
And we are back after a couple weeks, and Mac, we haven't heard from you in a while, so good to have you back on the saddle, as they like
Thanks.
To say. So, and we're going to try to set the record for cowboy turns of phrase this So we'll start off. We got a special 4th of July show lined up, so we're going to start off with what we've been doing recently. And I'm going to go first, gentlemen. How do you like those?
Let's all turn around.
Apples that horses eat. Okay, so I'm gonna chime in with some Transformers 4 reaction. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I just find this. I've been kind of compelled. I don't know if compelled is the word, but the reaction has been interesting to me. Now, I saw Transformers, and I've made no secret that I kind of get a kick out of the series, even though I will be the first to say they are objectively terrible movies. And Transformers 4 is no different. It is objectively an incoherent mess, okay? I mean, the plot is crazy, and, like, scenes jump from... Like, there was one scene in Transformers 4, Mark Wahlberg and Optimus Prime and the crew are driving through, like, the Mojave Desert, and then it cuts to a freeway in Detroit or something, you know, so nothing nothing really matches up. The product placement is hilariously stupid. Like, there's a scene, I don't know if you guys, any guys seen this yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, spoiler alert. So there's a scene, scene where Mark Wahlberg, they're running away from a Decepticon car chase, he slams into a Bud Light truck, you know, obvious Bud Light, and all the blue Bud Light bottles come out, and the guy gets out of the truck, starts yelling at him. Mark Wahlberg storms out, grabs a Bud Light bottle, pops open, takes a huge swig, runs it down.
Yes!
And, like Bud Light, you know? And but that's just, I mean, there's product placement everywhere. They did, like, you know, a China production company helped co-finance this stuff. So there was another scene where, like, you maybe saw it in the trailer where the big spaceship was vacuum sucking things up, right? You see that kind of brief shot. So this huge spaceship is vacuuming up Transformers. And cut to a scene with a couple... You know, a couple of Chinese folks in a convertible, and they look up, and they kind of get sucked up, and they scream, and then come to find out, like, the guy in the convertible is like the biggest pop star in China, right? So that'd be like, that's like, you know, like a weird cameo by Justin Bieber or something sitting in a convertible, which is so hacky, right? And then there's another weird scene where they're getting away from bad guys, they're in an elevator. And then this guy is just sitting in the elevator, and he joins in and beats up some bad guys, and come to find out he was like the Olympic gold medalist in boxing for China, right? So it's again like, it is so ridiculous and moronic.
Let me guess, there's a poster made for Chinese audiences with these guys' pictures on the poster.
Probably. I didn't go that far in my research because I did not want to know what I would find, Mac. But so, I mean, that's the movie, okay? It's not a functional movie, right? But I just, like, what I have been, what, I mean, it's got, like, 17% on Rotten Tomatoes ratings, which makes sense. But then it's got, like, 80%, you know, viewer approval. It got, like, an A- cinema score. We all know it pulled in six figures, and the people I was in the theater with were having a great time. And to me, the Transformers movies are like monster truck rallies. Right, you go.
Yeah.
It's a monster truck rally. You're going to see explosions and diesel, and that's. I mean, it's a spectacle, right? It's a fireworks show. It's not a coherent movie. Yet a lot of this criticism, you know, it just doesn't seem to apply. It's weird. Like, you guys can set me on the straight and narrow if you want. Like, again, I've proclaimed my love for all things Godzilla and whatnot. So I went to Transformers. I got exactly what I expected out of it. And I don't know, Mac, maybe we had this conversation from Dark of the Moon. I'm not sure. It's like, I mean, it was what it was. And I still don't understand why people seem to go into these movies expecting Michael Bay to provide something subtle, understated, you know,
right,
insightful into the human condition. I mean, this is a spectacle from beginning to end, and judged on that merit, the guy obviously delivers because no one does bombast like him. I mean, everything else falls short. And what I just have come to really like, get irritated with is the fact is like a lot of this criticism saying that it's like a blight on all of movies and culture and only idiots go see this. And yes, I was probably with a lot of idiots and I'm probably an idiot myself, but I just hate this kind of mentality that this type of movie does not deserve to exist. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's just kind of stupid. I mean, spectacle movies have always existed and, you know, if you go into it, like you said, expecting Michael Bay to deliver something subtle or important, you know, why are you going? I don't like Michael Bay's movies.
Sure.
I don't pay to see them.
Sure. Absolutely.
The reason I don't pay to see them is because I know what I'm going to get, and I don't like that result. The same thing happens in horror movies, and I watch all kinds of those. But if somebody goes in to a horror movie and says, like, you know, oh, well, these ghosts don't exist. This isn't believable at all. Well, why are you watching a dang horror movie?
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. Whoa, does someone have a window open?
What is that?
Somebody's driving down the highway.
Someone in a truck. Okay.
Matthew. Is that Optimus Prime? Yeah, is that you?
I have no idea.
Oh, was that somebody? Yeah, well, it must have been Optimus Prime coming to punch Daryl in the face. So,
sorry, Optimus, I don't like your movie. I like the old Transformers animated movie a lot.
So I guess I'm sick of that. Like, oh,
that's a silly argument.
I just hate that idea of like, oh, it's a blight on all of our pop culture, and only idiots like, you know, why can't you go see something and compartmentalize like. If I'm going to a Transformers movie, I know what I'm signing up for, and I willfully want to just see 2 hours of ridiculous bombast. And thankfully, there were no parents, no Shia LaBeouf, none of the stuff that made the other movies sort of unwatchable, right? Like, at least this was kind of watchable as far as the people. Yeah, so it wasn't like the gross-out sophomore humor, no Ken Jeong running around with toilet paper out of his butt, no parents. You know, so it was like, at least that was excellent. Yeah, that was taken out. But I can also appreciate, you know, an Edgar Wright movie, right? And that's
right.
Okay. I just hate this idea that this is speaking some kind of blanket statement on all of our pop culture, and it has no right to exist.
Well, you know, as though Transformers is any different than Missing in Action, you know, 30 years ago, or Rambo, or whatever, you know, The Running Man. It's just stupid action. Stupid action's been around since, I don't know, since they figured out how to trip a horse on a wire.
Yeah, so I don't know, and it is what it is. So that's just my thing. So am I gonna like recommend it? No, because I think in a Facebook status I put like it's beyond like 2 out of 4 stars because that's meaningless, right? Like if you like Michael Bay mayhem, it's 4 out of 4 stars. If you like movies that make sense, it's 0 out of 4 stars, right? Or
right.
I think the what you go with is the Arrested Development maybe middle school report card, right? Algebra makes maybe feel like the sad Elvis face. Because that's what it is. That's what we're working with when it comes to these Michael Bay movies. And so, I don't know. So that's just my kind of rant on that. And just all this, that sort of elitism that kind of filters in, you know. And just why can't you just, sometimes you want to watch Kentucky Fried Movie, right? Sometimes you just want to do that. Why can't you do that? So, I don't know. That's it. That's all I got. All right. I'm going to dial Eric in a second here. So, Mac, why don't you go next?
Okay. Well, I've just started a new job, and I'm moving to a new town. So I'm just living out of a hotel these days, and my movie watching has just been whatever's been on cable.
Yes.
And,
so a lot of Shawshank Redemption, then? Is that what you're saying?
A lot of Shawshank Redemption, a lot of The American President.
Yes.
now, I rewatched Ghostbusters 2,
yes.
Which, of course, it's not as good as the first, of course it is, but it's also really good, though. It was really funny.
I'm a fan of Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's a lot of great moments, you know.
I mean, I think Viggo the Carpathian is one of my favorite, like, just kind of red meathead bad guys, you know.
He actually doesn't do very much, but I guess it's just the presence.
It is the presence, yes.
The look on his face, yeah.
He's got a very furrowed, he's got a very furrowed brow.
Yes, he does. Yeah, but you got Viggo, you know, tons of great Bill Murray one-liners, you know, Harold Ramis just brings it, of course, and what's his name, McNichol, talking in that crazy accent.
That's right, yes, Peter McNichol.
Yeah, and Annie Potts, I believe her name is, she's really hilarious, so. Just had a good time with Ghostbusters 2. It was better than I remembered it being.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Daryl.
I don't have much going on for the site except for I haven't watched it yet, but a horror movie, a new horror movie called Afflicted, that's I have a lot of promise for.
Is that a found footage movie?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And it appears to be, plot-wise, like Hostel, except STDs. Nice. And I can get behind that. So, haven't watched it yet, but I'm hopeful for it. The other thing to mention for me, from my end, is I'm interested that Community got picked up for a sixth season.
That's right.
On, yeah, like, Yahoo Schmoodle or something. something I've never heard of. But it's out there, so I'm curious. I think that they're going to have to, for all this time and energy that's been spent in saving the show, I think they've got to really step up if they're going to do a sixth season right.
All right. Okay, Jason, how about you?
Last time I was on, I mentioned that I was playing that game Defiance, so I thought, hey, why not check this show out? And I'm most of the way through the first season, and it's pretty good. It's typical kind of, I don't know, it uses a lot of the same sci-fi tropes that you see in a lot of current sci-fi shows, but it reminds me a lot of Firefly, which is a good thing in my book. And really enjoying it, and I guess the second season just started, and it's getting pretty good reviews, so I'm excited to get to that.
All right.
Yeah, so that's about
it. Eric, we just dialed in. He joined us. So, Eric, anything to report in his last couple weeks?
Yeah, I've been actually going through some stuff on Amazon Prime, their HBO collection, which I kind of been sitting back on and thinking I'd get around to sometime, and I finally have. So I saw that they added the first season of Hello, Ladies.
That's right.
The Stephen Merchant show, which I thought was great. I laughed a lot. It's interesting to see that, and then to see the first couple episodes of the Ricky Gervais's Derek, which I could barely stomach, and think that, you know, maybe in that comedic pairing, Stephen Merchant was actually the unsung hero. I don't really know, but he's really funny in that show. As a guy who is certainly, like, you know, tone deaf and self centered, but he also has, you know, kind of a sweet side too. It's not like he's completely unlikable. Which I appreciate. You watched that show, Dave?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not coming back, unfortunately.
Oh, it's not. Oh, that's too bad.
No, it's done. It's a one and done. So, yeah, I liked it. I thought there was a little, maybe more room. I think it was a little uneven for me. But I agree with your point on Stephen Merchant. I think a lot of that's revealed through Life's Too Short as well. I felt like he kind of took a backseat to a lot of stuff, and Gervais kind of, you could tell that Gervais inserted him more into it. And I wasn't a big fan of that show, but I totally agree with you. I think Merchant may have, may definitely have powered that a lot. He was always the funniest thing in Extras too. So
yeah. And I think Hello, Ladies, pretty much goes where you expect it to go. It definitely kind of plays it safe as it moves toward the end of the season. But I think at the same time, it delivers on what it sets up, and there's just some great, hilarious kind of set piece stuff that happens, so I like that a lot.
Yeah, good show. No, I agree.
Yeah, and then on the other side of things, I finally started watching Rome.
Yes,
the show I'd never seen. So I'm about eight episodes in the first season. I like it a lot. I think it's really great. You can see where they.
Well, Optimus
is back.
Okay, all right, he's gone. Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say you can see where they spent the money. Which is, you know, they spent a lot of money on the show, so much that they, you know, had to can it after two seasons. But now you can see the places where they kind of had to pull back and kind of fudge over some of the things that would be too big. There's one big battle that gets kind of set up for like episodes and episodes, and then it's basically like a 30-second slow motion montage that they use to basically just cover over the whole thing, which is my only disappointment in the whole thing so far. I really like the people in it. It's great to see Karen Hines, who went on to play Mance Rayder in Game of Thrones. He's great as Caesar.
They did a similar thing with that with Game of Thrones. Speaking of Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage, there's a battle getting set up. Dinklage gets hit in the face with a hammer.
Yes,
or something.
Yes. Yeah. I think I might have appreciated it. I might have been okay with that kind of thing. They tried to like cover over it with like
I remember
it's felt like a weird like 90s music video moment that they kind of did, but
the show's great. I will say the second season does put they put their foot on the gas because they saw these coming. So the first one, like, takes its time to really build the character. The second one, they go through, like, big-time history moments in, like, the matter of episodes. So it's all That's really good. And what I ended up with loving about that show, I thought the thing it succeeded the most of for me was just, like, as far as a look at two guys' friendship. Like, the friendship of two dudes. I mean, that, like, to me was the most powerful aspect of it. Even more so than the political intrigue and the historical period stuff. But just
the guys
and their relationship was, to me, the most satisfying thing of that whole
thing. Yeah, it's a great through line, even up, you know, up to where I am. And, speaking of, you know, how fast it moves, I was like, in the last episode I watched, it covered like a year in just that one episode. It just happened like an offhand comment mentioned, you know, oh, Caesar's been in Egypt for a year. And, oh, I didn't realize it'd been that long. But, it's really great so far. And I like... You know, it reminds me a lot of Game of Thrones in some ways because it has a lot of this, a lot of the same kind of stuff, the political intrigue and the, you know, historical, accurate historical location.
I would say rampant nudity.
You know, a lot of, rampant nudity, little incest, you know, everything's in there, everything you need. So you kind of can see the template being drawn for Game of Thrones. In some ways, I like Rome more because it can actually just focus on the few storylines it's trying to tell. It's not trying to, you know, adapt to much... You know, larger. Obviously, Roman history is a much larger story, but what they choose to focus on within the context of the show, I think, maybe works a little bit better in some ways than Game of Thrones. But it's really great. I'm glad that I can watch the whole thing.
All right, that's very cool. Yeah, good stuff. So let's zap right through quick around the horn, like 30 seconds. Anything you got coming up for the site within that you want to draw attention to? Daryl, kick us off. Go.
Nothing. No, got nothing.
You all right? Like, Daryl cedes the balance of his time to Mac. Go, Mac.
Okay. Last review I wrote was for Visitors, a fancy art movie, modern art thing where the whole movie is just people staring right at the camera. And Wells, funky new age music plays. It's by the guy that made the Cohen Katsi trilogy. If I'm saying that right.
Koyaanisqatsi.
Yeah, Godfrey Reggio. So, it's high art, but for high art, it's fine.
All right. That's good. That's an excellent capture review. Jason.
I just published the other day John Frankenheimer's 1964 World War II movie, The Train, which is a totally, totally badass World War II thriller with lots of trains in it.
That one's different from the World War II pornographic film of the same name, right?
It's really good. And I guess it's been out of print for a while. Surprisingly, it's been on TV, I think, a bit on cable. But this is the first time I saw it, and man, I just loved it. It's probably one of the best movies from the '60s I've seen, I think.
Nice. All right, Eric.
So real quick, I have barely watched any of it, but I'm reviewing the Star Trek Next Generation Chain of Command two-parter that they're putting out as a standalone Blu-ray from Season 6. So I haven't seen any of the Blu-ray stuff so far, so I'm pretty impressed with it, what I've seen. So,
all right. And imminent coming out soon for me was my second favorite movie of the summer-ish, or maybe 2014 even. That'd be The Raid 2. Mac, obviously you know the love of that. And Jason, have you seen it?
I haven't. I actually just watched the first one for the first time.
Oh,
and
very
loved
good.
It. So I'm excited to see this.
This is definitely different from the first one. I won't go. I just say it's different, but I think, Mac, it's safe to say that you will still leave this movie totally torqued up out of your mind. Wouldn't you agree with
that? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Awesome. And Daryl, it's a must-see for you just for the splatter violence. Must-see.
Yeah.
But yeah, excellent. And I'll just say this, compared to the very substandard Blu-ray treatment of the first film, this one just rocks. So it is a beautiful-looking, beautiful-sounding, put-together release.
Excellent.
Yeah, so very highly recommended. All right. Now, since this podcast is going to go live on the 4th of July, we're going to jettison everything else we usually do and just kind of promote our lightning ambush topic around here. So this is how it's going to work, gentlemen. You will each, on the spot right now, have to come up with an ambush topic that has something to do with the 4th of July. That's it. And typical rules apply, but you have to get rid of whatever you were coming in with, save it for next week. Something to do with the 4th of July. So, Jason, you go first.
All right, fireworks.
That's a good layup. Very good.
I'll go with the end of Return of the Jedi.
That's
Ah, good one.
That's right. You really even get one. More fireworks with the updated version, right?
Exactly.
George Lucas is generous with his
fireworks. He's all great.
I will say, I think in a sequel that I don't remember liking much, but I do remember how the main bad guy died, Shanghai Knights, right? They're in London, and somebody gets launched with a firework, and then he explodes in fireworks. So.
Let's see, there's a really funny episode of Smallville where the teenagers were having a party at Clark Kent's house, and Lex Luthor showed up with fireworks, and Lex was operating the fireworks personally out in Clark's backyard to make the party that much cooler.
Nice.
I always wondered where Lex Luthor learned how to operate fireworks.
Isn't that a plot line of the New 52? Somewhere, right?
It must be, I think they're building up to it. Well, he has the energy drinks, and that leads to the fireworks somehow.
Very nice. All right.
I'm going to go with the big hot scene in To Catch a Thief, the old Alfred Hitchcock movie, where the fireworks go off, and then you know that Cary Grant and Grace Kelly are having sex.
Oh, very nice. Very good.
All right, and I'm going to go with Land of the Dead, 2006 George Romero movie, where I remember they like shoot fireworks, I think, just to attract the attention of zombies so then they can pick them off.
Right.
And honorary
mention. 2005.
Oh, nice fact. Honorary mention for me is the scene from The Naked Gun 2 or 1 or 2? No, 2, I think, where.
2.5, you mean?
2.5, thank you, right, where the bad guy is on a missile. Carrying truck and runs into a fireworks store.
Yeah, that's the first one. Yeah.
And Drebin stands up in front and says, "Nothing to see here." Right? So, yeah, that's right. That would be the first one. You call Mac. So, all right, Mac, why don't you go? What do you got? 4th of July.
Okay. Scenes with the American flag waving in the background.
All right, make it more difficult. It can't be a Michael Bay movie. Make it that.
Okay, yeah, no Michael Bay.
Nice.
All right, well, it's not waving, but I'll go with Patton's famous speech in Patton.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's actually an American flag waving at any point in the movie, but I would guess there is, but the entirety of the original Red Dawn is basically one giant waving
gotta
American
be, right?
flag.
It's got to be, yeah. How about, I think it waves when Superman takes the top of the White House and plants it back on.
Turns it
into too, right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So, sorry, Mr. President, I won't let you down again. Something like that. Right? Sorry, Mr. President, I had to let you down because I wanted to bang this reporter. By the way, Superman 2 is grossly overrated. All right, go ahead.
Is it to me?
Is everyone done their flag one?
Is that to me already?
I haven't done mine yet.
Oh, okay, go for it.
I'm trying to remember if it's in Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2, but isn't there a scene where he lands on the American flag at some point after swinging? Or?
Yeah, it's what I was going to say, actually, was that they sneak the American flag in the background, all three of Raimi's Spider-Man movies.
There we go.
All right. That's it, right? All right.
We did it.
Very good. Daryl, go.
Well, let's go with hot dogs.
Right.
I've been sitting here for 5 minutes trying to think of a hot dog one. My own.
All right, I'm gonna go back to the well. Naked Gun, where they're passing the hot dogs in the baseball stand, and Queen Elizabeth gets one, and there's a finger in it. Remember that? I think.
Oh yeah,
that was Ricardo. Was that Ricardo?
No, it was Ricardo Montalban. Man, I'm way off. I'm in the general area of the Naked Gun trivia, but I can't stick the landing. You're right. It was Montalban. Yeah. The gag was Queen Elizabeth was just passing hot dogs like a chump, but Montalban found the finger in the ring.
Nice.
This might be cheating, but in the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, there's a character named Hot Dog.
Okay. There you go.
I think he survives.
He messes everything up.
Doesn't he survive?
Yeah, he definitely survives. Yeah.
He's like the Wedge Antilles of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, exactly.
there's this really bizarre, twisted 70s movie.
Hello? Did we lose Mac?
I think think we lost Mac. I think
we lost into a bizarre twist.
He went into the abyss.
Daryl, can you pick that up for him? Can you know what he's talking about?
I cannot. I cannot place a hot dog in a in a weird old horror movie.
It was in Deathbed.
He's coming back.
Death hot dog, but hot dog that eats.
that's right. Maybe Death Dog? Is there a Death Dog?
Death Dog, the dog. Well, that's a whole different implication.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Right, Matt, are you back?
But I got bumped.
Yeah, go ahead. We're trying to guess what you're going, but go ahead.
'70s movie called Prime Cut. A guy gets, torn Prime up and cut. Turned into sausages.
Prime Cut. All right, that's good.
Good on him.
Good on him.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I lost all of you for a minute there. Weird. Right. Okay.
It's Optimus. He's back.
He's back.
He's back. Mad. I don't like Transformers
movies.
He's
mad at you, Daryl.
Sorry, Optimus. Jeez.
I'll get mine in quick because I got lost. The only one I could pop into my head, and I don't know why. It's a weird thing. There's a scene in the movie Sleepers where the boys take the hot dog cart and actually kill someone, and that's why they get sent to the boys' home where they get, destroyed mentally. But, yeah, that's all I got.
All right.
A depressing 90s movie about abuse.
Very good. Daryl, wrap it up.
Back to me?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm definitely cheating because I am going with a young favorite cable movie of mine, Hot Dog the Movie.
That's a very good one. Shannon Tweed's in that one, right?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Yeah, look at that. I got it.
It's about skiing, right? It's like
it's a skiing movie. It's like the hot doggers are like the what would now be like the dudes on the X Games or whatever.
Right.
And it's like Porky's but with skiing and it was on all the time.
They all have names that have to do with pork products or pork byproducts, everyone knows that.
Because it's about porking.
Yeah, that's right. I was hoping it would be more deeper than that, but I guess not. So.
this is one of those Michael Bay type situations.
What you get, what you ask for is what you get. All right, good. Eric, go.
I don't know if I have an answer for this. Let me go with shorts.
Shorts.
Shorts. People are shorts. Yeah, totally.
Oh, boy.
I don't have an answer for this, by the way. I feel like
all right, I'm going with George Michael in Arrested Development is wearing shorts when realizes
that's your Arrested Development shorts reference, the George Michael. Another one you're overlooking, perhaps?
Maybe, but this is the first one that came to mind where maybe recognizes that she has more hair on her legs than he does.
That's a great one. That's true. And then he goes into the motorcycle.
Yeah, that's when he starts getting the leather.
All right. Well, somebody just left the meatball over the plate, so
go for it.
All right.
Over it, Dave. You got it.
Go over. Daryl, how about the Never Nude?
Oh, yeah. True.
Tobias is
the cutoffs.
The cutoffs, absolutely.
The cutoffs.
That's right. If this guy's straight, I'm sober.
David Tell does a great Tobias Jr.
He does. Well, that's how through the looking glass that show gets. David Tell does a great Tobias Jr. as done by... craziness. All right.
Let's see. There was a short-lived show on Adult Swim called Mission Hill, and they did an episode where blue jeans were no longer popular. They were replaced by super tiny Japanese shorts that were all like sparkly and glittery. And when the one main character finally decided he was going to get rid of his jeans and start wearing the tiny shorts, that's when the tiny shorts went out of fashion, and everyone was wearing their blue jeans again.
All right.
The irony.
Yes. And he wore them in court, too.
Magnum P.I. Yes. Magnum is always wearing really, really short shorts.
Yes, he does.
Polo shirt, right?
Yes.
Yeah, usually.
Polo and, like, short cotton shorts.
Yeah, sometimes he had, like, just swim trunks on, too, but... Yeah, usually a polo and short shorts.
The 80s.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Come back to me.
Right. Time to face the music.
All right. Now, I've never seen this movie, but I would imagine in the Dukes of Hazzard movie, Jessica Simpson wore some short shorts. Just a guess.
Yeah, you are correct.
Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yep. The camera takes a moment to linger.
Yes. Can I just say that the sequel to that movie is unbelievably terrible?
I did not know there was a sequel to that
movie.
There
was a sequel. What was it called? I reviewed it. It was so bad, it sounded like Trishel from The Real World. Remember her? She was in that. Yeah, terrible.
Was it Dukes of Hazzards? Or was there like a subtitle Dukes of Hazzard 2?
I have no idea.
You can't even hazard a guess?
I can't even hazard. I can't hazard.
Dukes of Hazzard, the Dukening or something.
Yeah, the Dukening.
There you go.
I got Duke no idea. What... Search it. Hopefully I can search it, but I got nothing.
It's not that important.
See, now I'm wondering.
Dukes of Hazzard Reloaded.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Oh, it sounded good.
All right, I have no idea. Okay, to me, I guess. Here we go. Plucky freedom fighters waging war against an oppressor who is much more powerful than them. Oh, it's the Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
They're teenagers. The Bo Duke are teenagers.
Origin story.
Yeah, it's an origin story. Yeah.
Origin story.
All right, well, I'm just going to be lazy and go back and do Red Dawn again.
Okay, wow. Don't I guess you go with the sequel if you want to do.
Yeah, okay, Red Dawn, the remake.
The remake, right.
Yeah, because those North Koreans. Brr.
Jeez, maybe it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was. I gave it like a 74.
Yeah, whoa.
All right. Let's not go back. Let's never speak of this again.
I got bumped. What's the topic?
Oh, yeah. It's Plucky Freedom Fighters Waging War Against an Oppressor.
Nice. Who said Ewoks?
Nobody. It's yours.
I'll take Ewoks.
They were plucky.
Yes, they are. That was kind of their main thing. Yeah.
I'm going to go the lazy route, too, and just say Firefly, since I mentioned it earlier. Plucky Freedom Fighters, sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
We'll see. We'll review that and get back to you, Jason.
Okay.
Is it me?
It is to you.
I don't know why this is stuck in my head, so I'm going to go with it, and maybe I can explain it away. I'm going to go with Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice. Well, they had to fight against Beetlejuice at the end to... get rid of his oppression. They're plucky.
Right, to save their home. Yeah.
Yeah, I barely had shorts. That's all I got.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
Again, not the adult film, right? Not the adult film.
<Beetlejuice?
All right. laughs> No, I barely had shorts. Okay. All right. I'm gonna go with the straight up band of freedom fighters fighting a straight up oppressor for all the stakes in the world. And that is the group of misfits and morons that the writer pulls together for Warrior of the Lost World, one of my favorite terrible post-apocalyptic movies.
Yes.
Again, made famous probably by Mr. Science Theater, right? But he goes and he recruits these guys, like a couple kung fu guys and like some bikers, and there's like a handful, like 10, I think a dwarf is involved in that, so like there's like 10 or 12 of these guys, and they take on what is it, Mac? The Omega, I think? Omega, that's what they are?
Something like that, yeah.
With the mega weapon?
Mega weapon is in the movie.
That's
yeah.
right. Mega weapon is in the movie, and that is a very oppressive force. But they, of course, and they've got the guns that sound like rabbit diarrhea when they shoot. You know? They fight against Donald Pleasence and Fred Williamson. So
that's right.
Has that ever been released as a Mystery Science Theater DVD release or anything?
Yeah. It's I think it's actually on Netflix.
Yeah, I think it has, but I'm not sure.
It has.
But it's yet to get the standalone Blu-ray Criterion that deserves, right?
Yeah, probably. Dave, can I change my answer?
Yes,
thought for the real one.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the people in the future sequence in Cloud Atlas who are in the future city who are fighting against the controlling class.
Did you like that movie?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good.
Anyone else see Cloud Atlas?
I did, yeah. No. I thought some segments were more interesting than others, but yeah, overall it was a cool experiment.
All right.
I find it hard to dislike a movie that's that ambitious and does it that well. So I liked it.
All right, very nice. There's a bonus review for you. So
there you go.
And one more bonus review because it just occurred to me now. It's you can rent it for like $6 on Amazon, but you really want to go see They Came Together, the David Wayne
yes.
movie.
Oh yeah.
Paul Rudd and like everybody else that you know and love is in that movie. Very much like. What's the trilogy name? Edgar Wright's and Simon Pegg's trilogy. What's it called?
Cornetto.
Yeah. So this is kind of like it feels like Phase Two in one of those sort of not really spiritually related trilogies, with Wet Hot American Summer being the first one because there's a lot of familiar faces in the second one. So You want to talk about parodies? This one is a straight-out kind of spoof movie, and it is hilarious. So that is my recommendation. $6, and it's yours to watch. Do it now. So, all right, that's it. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is our email. Mac, take us away.
Wolverines!